Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back. When a family steps into the waters of foster care and adoption, they share about the tremendous rewards, but there are also great challenges. But something that we can do to help foster and adoptive families is to be able to provide practical, tangible help with their children. So for many reasons, Lynette, not everyone is called to full-on foster or adopt.
That's right.
But we certainly can do something. And one of the most generous, loving gifts that we hear from foster families all the time is how much they need respite care.
Yeah, respite care provides a much needed break for foster families. And you know, it's a wonderful way to get to know these kids, to love on them, and to encourage families at the same time. You know, when I think of respite care, the picture that comes to mind is when the Israelites are in battle. And so as long as Moses' arms are raised toward the Lord, God's people advance. But you know that tingling, my arms are asleep feeling? So Moses' arms would grow weary and he couldn't keep his arms raised. And the Lord was showing them, you need support. And so Aaron and men of God, the elders, would come and hold up Moses' arms. And so our point today is we all grow weary.
That's right. And Lynn, for families that want to be able to stay in the arena of foster care and keep on going, even when it's hard, they have to have support. They need a loving community around them to help keep their arms raised.
Yeah, and, you know, and this topic brings us to our special guest today. You're going to really be encouraged by our family story.
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, Becca Browning and her family have answered the call to open their home and foster, but lately the Lord has been using them to bless other foster families through respite care. So welcome. Welcome, Becca. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So, Becca, we are really excited because in the 2 years we've done this podcast, I don't think we've done a podcast on respite care.
We have not.
We hear this from foster families all the time. So why don't we start by you telling us about your family and how you first entered the world of foster care?
Okay, absolutely. Yes, so I am married to my husband, Michael, and we have four children right now. They are 10, 9, 6, and 1. But we began our foster journey 5 years ago, almost exactly 5 years ago. I had just become a stay-at-home mom. I had been teaching for 9 years, and with my third, decided to stay home. And so the baby was just turned one, and Michael and I just kind of had this calling for adoption, and we just couldn't shake it. We knew we wanted a fourth child, but I had had some tough pregnancies, and we just didn't feel like that was the route we were going to take as far as our fourth child. So we said, let's start checking out adoption. And we found ourselves at a 2-hour orientation that was actually about adoption, all kinds, international, domestic, as well as foster care. So they did an introduction to all of us and then broke us into groups with what we were interested in learning more about. And after the overview and listening about foster care, my husband and I, without talking, we looked at each other and said, we need to go find out more about this. So we went, and I think, you know, God was kind of pulling on both of our hearts after that 2 hours. And we got in the car and we were like, oh, shoot.
That's like the common response every time the Lord calls us to something hard.
You know, and we truly, really, we really didn't know much about foster care. We actually had one family that, which was the reason we had gone to this particular agency to find out, but we didn't know a lot about it. And so we decided to go to another 2-hour orientation on foster care with a different agency because we wanted to make sure that this was something we were really supposed to pursue. So we went to another 2-hour training session, and then we went to one more. So we did 6 hours.
Just to make sure.
That's right.
Just to make sure, because it was, I mean, we were scared at this, you know, at this moment. I had a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 1-year-old. I'd just become a stay-at-home mom, and yeah, so we went to the third and heard some stories, and we just kind of knew like that was the where God was calling us. And we knew pretty quickly that we were going to do the fostering, but we we still had this heart for adoption. So we didn't know what that was going to look like. So we signed up with this one agency in particular we've been very happy with, and we did the course to become approved foster families. And so I don't even remember the hours, but that was back in April, 5 years ago. And we spent the entire weekend doing the training. And from there, and I will say at that training, when I was super scared, and my one question was, how in the world are we going to love these kids and then say goodbye? Like, how are we going to do this? And I remember asking, not out loud, thank goodness, because it was a room full of people, but the guy that was running it, and I asked him, I said, this is my only concern. This is my fear. And he looked at me and he was super sweet. And he said, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's not about you.
Wow.
And when he said that to me, like, I looked at my husband and we just knew we were all in. So we finished that course. We did all of, I want to say, I can't remember the exact timing of it all, but I know it was toward the end of April. And then we did the home studies, which was three visits to our home. We did all the medical background checks, all of that stuff, got our home ready, and filled out the paperwork. And we were approved toward the end of July. And 5 days later, we got our first call for a placement.
Wow.
Yes. And so we got a little girl, a little 2-year-old girl, at night after we had tucked our kids in. I had kissed my little son, my oldest, and said goodnight and put him in bed because he was going to start kindergarten for the first time the next day. And
so, of course, you get a placement that night.
We got a placement. We were mid. We had we were painting our living room. So we were mid. We were literally painting the room and had to we answered the call. They told us we had 5 minutes to make a decision, and cleaned all up the paint and said, yes, and, you know, bring her here. My son went off to kindergarten, not realizing he had a foster sister that had moved in while he was asleep.
Oh, my goodness. It really wasn't about you, was
right.
it?
There was nothing about me. So we had that little girl. Long story short, we also got her two sisters 2 months later. And we had them for a total of about 17 months. And so we had 6 kids under 6 with a lot of trauma and issues to work through and deal with. And, you know, it was a crazy hard experience, but something that in doing that, we realized that no matter where we were with foster care, we would have some part in it. And I can tell you, I did not know anything about respite. I didn't know what it meant until we became a foster family. And there is no way we would have been able to keep those girls or take a placement 3 weeks after they moved out had it not been for the respite care and the community care team that was placed around us during that time.
Wow, that's amazing. Because we really need people to keep our arms up, and we don't need to feel alone in this.
Right.
And I think that's a tactic of the enemy. So you had the girls, like, what, 17 months?
We had them 17 months. And we were lucky. We're in a church group that they have an amazing fostering program. So they put a community care team around us. And we were blessed with the most amazing respite family. And that family took on those girls as like an aunt and uncle. And so if we needed breaks or if we had certain things coming up with the family, then they would take those girls. And it was great for the girls too, because they had more family to love on them. So.
Right. Well, and I think when you're talking about that and this community of care from your church that came around you, that it really is vital. But the beauty of the respite family that was coming alongside you is that it was a constant in the girls' lives.
Yes.
So it wasn't rocking their world if you had to leave the state to go visit family and drop the girls off at their house. It was just, oh, we get to go see our friends. So it wasn't tacking on more traumatic situations for them to have to go to another family that they didn't even know.
Right. It's almost like a vacation. I mean, they would go to see their cousins, and, you know, they had their stuff there. And we would try, and I know with our agency, they try to, you know, have the respite family at least see the kids once a month to keep that relationship.
Smart.
So, it was just amazing, you know, and birthday parties, that family would come too. And just, it just felt like more family.
That sounds like it was done really, really well.
Yeah, just really, made the transition much smoother, I'm sure. So for a while there, you had six kids, six and under, but you shared with me that you just didn't feel called to adoption.
Okay, so yes, in this situation, these children were actually, unfortunately, the parental rights were terminated. And so they became available for adoption. And typically in foster care, the family that's had them becomes the family they ask first. And that was one of the hardest decisions we've ever had.
Oh, because, I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, it was definitely one of the hardest decisions. But we knew that God did not, that they were not meant to be ours forever.
Mm-hmm.
We also just felt very strongly that this was our first placement and that we were called to foster.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided that we were not going to adopt, and God worked out all of these amazing ways, and we actually know the family that adopted them, and we are the girls' godparents.
Oh, that's just beautiful. I love that. Yes. I'm glad you shared that. I love that part of your story.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I mean, that was actually 6 years of work, because I mean, it's just a really cool story, and the girls are doing so well, and they are in their forever perfect family for them. So it was a great ending to a very tough story.
Well, Becca, I really appreciate your transparency in saying we feel called to foster, because we have families tell us that, and that's a calling.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so I know one of your posts, you'd mentioned it earlier, but one of your posts, you said, I didn't even know what respite meant when we begin this journey. And so what kind of training or let's back up. What do respite families, how do they support foster families?
Okay, so, and yeah, the training, I'm not quite sure, because it's different in every state, but for us in Georgia, the state of Georgia, you have to be a respite family, you go through all of the training and the entire approval and license process as an actual foster family.
Oh, okay.
So we were and you have to keep up your license or your approval each year. So there's, you know, requirements each year. So you have to resubmit some paperwork. It's not as much as when you start in the beginning, and you have to keep up some training hours. But we are completely approved as a full-time foster family.
Well, I know with three kids in your home, your days are super busy, because I've been talking with
you. Well, they've got four now, because
they've got
that baby.
Now. Yeah, that's right.
And somewhere in all of that, a fourth baby came.
I think that happened to me. Somewhere in all of that, I ended up with six kids. Yeah. But how much time does it take to help a foster family, like organically on Monday morning or on a weekend? What does it look like?
So it's different depending, but we typically have found, so now we've been doing respite for probably 2.5 years. And the thing that's good about respite is there is flexibility to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you can say no, and if it doesn't work for your schedule, but we typically have found that respite is needed for weekends or holidays.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know that a lot of people know this, but first of all, you know, I personally think every foster family needs to take a vacation without their foster children. They need that break. Sometimes they need that break with just their family, with their biological kids, to give them that time, because often these kids coming in are requiring a lot of attention. They have a lot of needs. They have a lot of therapies and just appointments. So I think that's so important.
Yeah. And but, I mean, you saying that, just everyone listen, just take the guilt away, because
you have to take the guilt away.
You do.
I mean, just a quick, this is a little side note, but we had a trip to Disney planned when we had the girls, and it was not going to work for us to take a 2- and 3-year-old and another 2-year-old to Disney World. And so we left the three little ones, and we took one of the foster children and our two older ones. But a lot of people don't know that just because they're in the foster home, the foster parents don't have the ability to just take those kids with them across state lines.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have the approval of DFACS, and you have to have the approval of the biological parents, because they still have their rights. And sadly, oftentimes the biological parents will not give permission for the kids to go on a trip or a vacation with their foster family. So either the foster family has to, you know, cancel the vacation, or they have to find respite for those kids. So we come in and we fill that and help them so that they can go on those trips. And so I would say, I mean, we get called frequently, I think, because we say yes so often. I also think because I have flexibility in being available during school days and stuff, but a lot of times we are doing respite on holidays or weekends or long weekends.
And that's a sacrifice in itself.
It is.
So, yes. Which is an incredible gift to a foster family, but to say Thanksgiving week, I'm going to add 3 extra kids to my mix.
Yes.
So,
but, you know, I know. And honestly, I think we've had foster kids with us the past 5 Thanksgivings.
Wow.
Maybe one we didn't, but yes, we did respite this Thanksgiving for 2 little kiddos because, again, they didn't have permission to travel with their foster family. And we just know, I mean, yes, it's crazy, but it's 1 week of our lives.
Right.
And we just know how important it is. And we know we have this fun, great family environment where my husband's home that week with me and we can just love on them and, you know, give them the happiest Thanksgiving break that they can so they can just enjoy it and be kids and not worry about things.
Well, and it really teaches your kids that you just love. One of your posts, you said one that caught my eye and the way you and I met was I read you had posted, we are going to love. You made the decision as a family. Mm-hmm. We are going to love all children the Lord brings into our home. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about doing respite care because you don't know who they are till they get there sometimes. But you've trained your children to love others.
And I have to tell you, from a personal note, one of our children who lived in an orphanage overseas was always, at Christmas and Thanksgiving, they always had to go to a foster family, or it was really respite for those holidays. And those were some of our child's most fond memories of a really stinky, hard part of their life. Not that it was all stinky, but it was just, it was a really like a reprieve and a vacation and something really fun to look forward to. And our child went to the same foster family every time and still has these amazing memories. Like, you'll never believe what I got to do, which was so outside of the norm. And so, I mean, from personal experience, I know that it's a difference maker. And so I think it's really neat that you're doing that. It not only blesses the foster family to not have that worry, but the children will have memories and you'll have impact on them that they'll take into adulthood.
Yeah. And Becca, Tara's right. Like, one of our children also came from overseas and got to go to a family and see Christmas and be a part of their Christmas. And he still at 20 years old talks about that. So, and he was young when that started,
right.
was introduced to his life, and it just means the world to him. So we encourage you. Yeah.
That's really, really neat. What are some of the challenges that you face? Because when you were talking about your 3 that you had in your home and that they had a lot of challenges due to trauma, when you have kids that have complex developmental trauma and then they come into your home and maybe they don't know you very well, do they have behavioral issues that you're dealing with or challenges where sometimes your kids don't really want them there? I don't know. I'm just asking, like, what are some of the challenges that you face?
Absolutely. And honestly, so a lot of ours are the weekends, so it's so short enough. It's almost like that honeymoon stage.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
So typically we don't experience that. And now we also, we've had the same kids over and over, so they're pretty comfortable and the fighting is more like sibling fighting.
That's good. And bad.
And my kids are so used to this now. I mean, they give up their toys, their beds, like they just, it's just part of their lives. So that's been fine. I think the challenges sometimes are that if they are coming in with behavioral issues, which we've never, ever had an issue. I mean, if there's something that we know, like the foster families are always very good about telling us what to look out for.
Oh, that's a good point.
We just did respite for a biter. I mean, he is a biter and we have a 20-month-old. And so we just, it was busy and we had to keep an eye on him, but we were aware to watch it so that we were able to keep anything from happening. But I think the challenging part is that we don't know the whole story often. So we don't necessarily know what's going to set the child off and, right, you know, and go have a total meltdown. So we just try to do the best we can to just love on them through that. So that I think is challenging because you do, they come in and they just grab your heart and you love, you know a little bit about them, but you also know how hard it is. And so you don't necessarily know how to comfort them or, you know, if they're screaming, crying and kicking and throwing, it's not like I have any experience with that child and how to handle it. So we just try and do the best we can. And we keep up with trainings. So I do think the trainings are important and that if you know that you are going to be welcoming children into your home with behavioral issues or certain stuff, that you try and keep up with trainings to learn about how to handle those situations. I think some of the other challenges too with the respite, not to say that we're like the super fun family, but because we are a break sometimes from when, you know, they're home and having all these hard issues and then they get to come to us for 2 or 3 days and it's fun and exciting because everything's new. I think it's kind of challenging sometimes when they go home because it's just, you know, they just have like a vacation. Mm-hmm. So we also try to not make it just fun vacation mode. We try to keep, I always talk with the foster mom or dad before they come to make sure that we know their rules and that we are trying to follow with whatever guidelines and routines they've set up for them to make it so that, you know, they're not just coming here and saying, oh, I eat cookies for dinner. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know.
And stayed up till 12 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we try to, I mean, for instance, in the last respite situation, the mom had been dealing with some issues with the little girl and about her jeans. And, you know, so I made sure, like, little girl wanted to wear all of our leggings. And we said, no, you know, so-and-so, your foster mom and I, we don't call her that, but we're friends. And we talk to make sure that we're looking out for your best, you know, for the best. And we want to make sure that you're following the rules and all this stuff. So we try and do that often.
Yeah, that's a great point to just, because I know even as a grandparent, I can come in and my husband and I can get all of our grandkids, yes, wild and then we leave it, you know, and that doesn't help my daughters, right, at all. So same, yes, kind of concept. But I love that to keep kind of the rules, you, uh-huh, know, parallel, kind of keep them the same as much as you can. And that really, you don't want to send home little monsters after,
right,
you've had them,
no,
for a while.
No, I mean, they're having to learn how to, I mean, the transitions for them typically are hard anyways. So all of that is, yeah, we, and what I don't know if I'm just going to, this is going to lead me into something else, but that's what I love so much about the respite is these families that are fostering that have now come into our lives and we've met and they have become like family to us.
Oh,
too.
I love it.
So, I mean, I, you know, I adore all of them. And so, you know, we've built new relationships with people that we otherwise would never have met.
Well, if you want, I'm just going to share with everyone, if you want to follow Becca, it's at Becca Brown Living on Instagram, and
oh,
your,
yes,
posts are so sweet, and
thank
you're
you,
just very real, and I love that about you, and you know, just, I think you would say the most rewarding thing about respite care are the relationships, what you just shared.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, if your family is not ready to foster or adopt, just prayerfully consider providing respite care to foster families, maybe in your church and in your community.
And really always keep in mind that opening your life and home to a foster family is building community and family, which is a picture of the body of Christ.
Absolutely. The joys and rewards, as Becca shared, I mean, you know, it has its challenges, but the rewards are immeasurable. So, Becca, thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.